Good morning again. I greet you in the awesome name of Jesus. I ask you to raise your hands for Jesus this morning. Is he an awesome? Is he awesome? Yes, God is awesome. God is good. God is so good all the time. Praise the Lord. Title to this morning's message is Choosing to Serve. Our text is 1 Corinthians 9, verses 14 to 27. I encourage you to open your Bibles to that passage, and we'll read that shortly. 1 Corinthians 9, 14 to 27. The singing group Jars of Clay sings a song called No Greater Love. A portion of the lyrics were an inspiration for the subtitle to today's message. Is it still my turn? The lead singer says. I think I'm the last one left to learn that the life I lose is the least of my concerns. Can you say there's no greater love, no greater love? Show me the beauty of a life. Show me the beauty of a life. Show me the beauty of a life laid down. Jesus, reading from John 13, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. There is no greater love than to lay down our lives for God." There, the picture of a person that just prostrates himself or herself or himself in service to the Lord is a beautiful one. It's a picture of sacrifice and service to the Lord through serving others. The Apostle Paul was an effective Christian servant. God accomplished so much through him. He established churches. He trained young ministers to follow in his steps. And he wrote a large part of the New Testament scriptures. Paul sets for us an example of sacrifice and service. He gave up his comforts. He spent long hours in service, and he suffered so much in his lifetime, and he overcame huge obstacles in his service for God. Opposition from his own people and the Gentiles, physical hurdles and real persecution. In our text today, his message to the young Corinthian church takes on a personal note. It seems that Paul was responding to some criticism about his ministry. He starts by defending his behavior and position and his right to receive financial support. He shows us his life and reason for serving others, and he is laying out an example for us. What impressed me about the second half of this chapter is that it lays out as a handbook would, how to serve in Christian service. How can I be effective in Christian service? How can I win someone to Christ? How can I help build the church? My question to you and to myself is, will I choose to follow the example of the Apostle Paul? Am I serious about serving the Lord? Paul leaves us that good example. It's a beautiful life, a life we should emulate, a life laid down in service. The choices that I need to make as far as service go are as follows, and this is the outline for the message this morning. Number one, to surrender my rights. We're going to spend some time talking about surrendering our rights. Secondly, to leave my comfort zone. And most of you know what I'm talking about by leaving my comfort zone. And that's going to be actually the heart of the message this morning, to leave my comfort zone. Am I willing to leave my comfort zone? And how can I do it effectively in service? And number three, to exercise personal discipline in that regard. So that's the outline to the message. Let's now read our text. If you would stand, I will read the text, 1 Corinthians 9, 14 to 27. Follow along, please, in your Bible as I read. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 14 to 27. In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel, but I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision, for I would rather die than have someone deprive me of my ground for boasting. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward, but if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. You may be seated. In choosing to serve, I choose to surrender my rights. If I'm going to be a good servant, I need to surrender my rights. Let me read again verses 14 and 15. In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure such provision. For I would rather die than have someone deprive me of my ground for boasting. My first question to you is, does the Christian servant have rights? As a Christian servant, do you have rights? Do you have rights? Are you retaining rights? Our Declaration of Independence says that we as Americans have inalienable rights. Do we claim those? Inalienable means impossible to take away or give up. Do Christians have inalienable rights? I'd like for you to think about that just a little bit. Do you as a Christian servant, have inalienable rights? Rights that you cannot give up, that you won't give up. Do we claim rights that we never give away? The answer I have for you is no. No, we don't. We do not have inalienable rights. As believers, we don't. We choose to give up things that would be considered our rights for the sake of our master and for the sake of the gospel. And we give them up of our own volition. We choose to give them up. Jesus set the example by giving up his rights, and we also need to do that. Reading from Philippians 2, Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus emptied himself of his rights. Jesus had the rights of the deity. He had the rights of the Godhead. He had absolute authority. He had absolute privilege. He had all these things. But the word there is emptied, kenosis. It is the kenosis that Jesus gave up. Jesus gave up his rights. He gave up his rights. Why? So that he could come here and be with us and live with us and give himself for us. He gave up his rights to privilege. God had all the privilege that there was. Jesus as God, the splendor and beauty of heaven. But he lived the life of a carpenter. He never owned a home. He borrowed a tomb to die in, to live, to be in after his death. He gave up his reputation. Jesus gave up his reputation. You know, so many of us are so protective of our reputation. We don't want to have our reputation sullied in any way. But Jesus lived with sinners. He associated with sinners. He associated with harlots. He associated with tax collectors, the despised in his culture. He associated with them. He gave up his reputation. He gave up his rights to be served. Matthew 20:25. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. And even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus gave up his comforts. Jesus was walking along the road one day. Someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus gave up his comforts. His easy travel, a place to stay at night, food sometimes, privacy. He gave up his rights to his own decisions. He said, "Now I do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do." Paul decided to serve in ministry to the Corinthians without pay. And now I'm not here this morning to talk about that subject specifically, okay? Should we have paid pastors? That would be in a very uncomfortable position to do that. Should we pay our pastors? And I think the scripture is clear that we could do that. There is nothing wrong with having paid pastors and that they deserve a living wage, if you will. As a pastor, I'm willing to give that up. I am certainly willing to give that up. Paul was willing to give that up. Verse 16, if you have your Bible still open to 1 Corinthians 9. "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if I'm not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel." God is my master, Paul is saying, and I echo that this morning. I answer to God, I'm his servant. I have been entrusted with so many things that I will have to answer for to my master. For each one of you, for each one of us, the responsibility is different. For Paul, and for me, it's preaching. For each one of us, there are areas in which we are stewards of the grace of God that has been given to us. And we need to be careful that we use good stewardship in those gifts that he has given us. So I choose to surrender my rights. I know you're thinking, when you run into situations, I have a right to this. I have a right to this. Yeah, you do. Generally speaking, you do, in a sense that it's been given to you in this country. We have so many rights, and we should be so thankful for them. But as a Christian, we need to be willing to give up those rights so that we can serve God in the way that he asks us to. Do I have the right to go home tonight? Maybe I do, maybe I don't. Maybe I need to go in some act of service to someone. Do I have the right? For whatever you may say, I have this right, and Americans are big on rights. But as a servant of God, we need to be willing to surrender our rights. The second point to the message this morning is I choose to leave my comfort zone. For many of you, this is a big deal. Do I choose to leave my comfort zone for the service of the gospel, for the service of my fellow human being? I want to read it for us again. If you have your Bibles open there, verse 19. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, although not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. I choose to leave my comfort zone. I choose to leave my comfort zone to minister to those who are different from me. For the Paul, it was the Jews or the Gentiles, the weak, and those who are different from him. For me, it's unique. For you, it's unique. I choose to leave my comfort zone to serve others. Many of us, I want to include myself, struggle with knowing how to minister to those who are different from us. How can I minister to someone who is very, very different from me? I struggle with that at times. I kind of feel like a bull in a china shop. I'm going to break something. I'm going to make a fool out of myself. And I'm feeling very awkward. How can we minister to those outside of our area of comfort? There's so many things to learn. I remember as a young lad, 10, 11, 12 years old. I'm not sure exactly how old I was. I was riding with my dad in a pickup truck down in Central America in Belize. And we had with us another American. And I was just a new Christian. And I was really urged in my spirit to witness to this man about Christ. Can you imagine? There is this 10, 12-year-old boy riding along with his dad in the pickup truck. And here's this old, seasoned American agnostic probably, riding along in this pickup truck, and I got to say something for the Lord. I don't know if you've ever been there in that situation where you feel very, very uncomfortable, but you think, I got to say something. And I did. And I blurted out to this man that, is he going to heaven when he dies? Imagine that. Are you going to heaven or hell? Just out of the blue, when you die. I don't know if that was the right thing to do or not, but I did it. And the man had something to think about, didn't he? Do we go out of our comfort zone to serve others? One of the greatest barriers to being able to connect with those who are different from us is the superiority complex. You think that you're probably just a little better than they are. They're different, and their difference makes them inferior in some way, that I'm reaching down to this person. And that's the first thing you've got to get rid of. Brothers and sisters, that's the first thing you've got to get rid of, is that superiority complex. That I'm somehow a little better than this person. I'm somehow just a little better. I'm a Mennonite. I'm conservative Mennonite. And this person is obviously not. And somehow that makes me a little better than this other person. If I want to serve, if I want to reach out, I have to be clothed with humility. How can I do this? How can I reach out to those that are different from me? First of all, in openness. We got to be open. I choose to leave my comfort zone in openness. Openness is the ability to welcome people into your presence and to make them feel safe. You want to reach someone for the Lord, you want to be a servant to somebody, you've got to make them feel safe around you. You've got to make them feel safe in your presence. I know this is true. I've experienced it. You walk up to somebody and you want to some way minister to them, you've got to make them feel safe. Welcome them into your presence. Make them feel safe that they are not in some danger in some way. It's a skill that is developed over time as we learn to make people feel comfortable in our presence. Openness is one of the characteristics of Christ that attracted the sinners and outcasts to him. When Christ was ministering to the sinners, the religious Jews had a major rule. One is not to have fellowship with outsiders until they are changed. If and when outsiders came to repentance and when they had proven they were sorry by acting like insiders, the Jews could join with them and eat with them, and not a moment before. After all, God's people had no business mixing with unbelievers. Wrong. Calvary Mennonite Fellowship, that's wrong. People don't have to change and come into our assembly and be comfortable that I can reach out to them. I need to be able to reach out to them and make them feel safe in the way that they are. In the way that they are. Tattoos, piercings, blue hair. All these things that make me feel uncomfortable. I need to be able to make these people feel safe when I'm there. The cross is the ultimate symbol of openness when Christ opened his arms even to those who crucified him. We offer hospitality to show openness. Hospitality is an attitude that prevails in a person's lifestyle, an attitude of extending grace to people, including the stranger and the person who is different. I don't know if you're like me, but I suspect you are, that I'm very quick to pigeonhole people, put them in neat little brackets, and I will avoid them if I can, if they make me uncomfortable. Let's say you are tomorrow in a grocery checkout line, and this is an opportunity to connect with someone. You're in this grocery checkout line at Walmart or some other place, and standing in front of you is another person. How long do you think it takes you to decide to make a connection with that person or not? How long does it take? The average person, it takes 2 to 5 seconds to decide whether they want to connect with this person or not. What is it that normally decides that? It's their appearance. You see this person who has, you know, very, very different from you, who is maybe unkempt or is got a screaming child or has got whatever characteristics about them that makes you decide, no, I'm not going to connect. Is that right? Is that correct for you to shut out people just because they're different from you? It's not right. It's not right. We want to serve people. We have got to make them feel safe, and we have got to connect with them, even though they're very, very different from us. The Jew, the Gentile, the black man, the Muslim, the redneck. The girl with the rings and piercings everywhere and covered with tattoos. Acceptance is the ability to communicate value, worth, and esteem to others. So I choose to leave my comfort zone by openness, in openness, and by acceptance. I remember one encounter especially. Me personally, I used to commute to work from Lynchburg up to D.C. every day, almost at most days, on a little airplane. And over that period of time, when I was commuting a couple years, I was making a really conscious effort to speak out to people about the Lord. I was convicted I need to talk to people about the Lord. And I remember sitting down in this little airplane with a young lady on a flight from D.C. She was the type of person who is exactly opposite from me. I don't know how, if you can envision what somebody is exactly opposite from Sam. A young woman from Long Island, New York, who was covered with piercings and tattoos, and the hair was obviously not the color she was born with. I don't remember what color it was. She was just not the person that I felt comfortable talking to. I forced myself to engage her in conversation, and I was pleasantly surprised. How many of you have been there? You've broached that. You have made yourself touch base with someone. You've made yourself to do that. And you were pleasantly surprised. This person is not weird, as this lady would have said it. She looked weird, but she is a real person. She is a real person who needs Christ. A real person who needs to be served. A real person who you can impact in some way for the Lord. She is a real person. He is a real person. And we show acceptance by reaching out to them and, over our own personal objections, accept them as normal and someone of worth. We dare not judge from appearances. Thirdly, I choose to leave my comfort zone in building trust. You know, relationships are all about trust. And trust is built over a period of time, isn't it? Trust is built over a period of time. It is often lost very quickly, but it is built over a period of time. In most cultures of the world, trust is the glue that holds relationships together, the oil that reduces friction, the energy that promotes spirited cooperation. We cannot effectively serve others unless there is trust built into that relationship. Here I'm going to get a little personal with us here at Calvary. The loss of trust is actually, in our church experience, is one of the biggest factors with what happened a year and a half ago. The loss of trust. So in relationships, we have got to be willing to reach out and build trust in those around us. Does it come easy? Anybody want to raise your hand and say that building trust is easy? No, it's not. What does it take to build trust in someone? Time. Absolutely. It takes time. It takes time. The investment of time. Trust is built over time. It takes risk on our part, doesn't it, to build trust? It takes a risk on us that I might be rejected. But I reach out anyway because I want to be a servant to this person, and I build that trust. It takes an emotional investment on our part, and sometimes it takes forgiveness on our part. It takes nurture to build trust. But in order to leave my comfort zone in serving, I need to build trust in that other person. Number four, trying to understand that person. By trying to understand. Getting to know each other as human beings, usually, but not always, destroys most stereotypes, prejudice, and racism that may lurk within us. I don't know if any of you would acknowledge being a racist or not. That's a little dangerous to do that, right? But most of us have lurking within us a bit of racism. I'll freely admit it. Not that I'm trying to be some kind of nasty racist or something like that, but these people are so different from me that I tend to look at them sometimes with suspicion. Until I build that trust, until I build that connection, until I understand where they're coming from, and that can dissolve a lot of that problem that I have. Learning about them, learning to be with them. The most effective way to learn about these different from us is to build relationships, and ministering works best through relationships. More people are won to Christ through relationships than any other way. More people are won to Christ through building a relationship than any other way. 80%, the experts say, of people that come to Christ came through a relationship. Someone was willing to put themselves out for them, reach out for them, and to build a comfort zone and a trust with this other person to the point where they could share together. And eventually that person says, I want to be like Nat. I want to be like that. That man has something special. And that man can refer you to God. That man can help us to build that relationship and in turn that trust in Christ. The key, Sherwin Ligenfelter says, for successful personal relationships and ministry is to understand and accept others as having a viewpoint as worthy of consideration as our own. Number five, I choose to leave my comfort zone in serving. Serving is the ability to relate to people in such a way that their dignity as human beings is affirmed, and they are more empowered to live God-glorifying lives. Serving always includes relationships, even if brief. Secondly, the servant respects those served because of their God-given dignity. Third, the person served feels empowered because they have encountered Jesus, whether they consciously recognize him or not. You reach out to somebody in service. You risk all kinds of discomfort in doing that. But you reach out to them in the way that a Christian should reach out to them. Guess what? They have just encountered Jesus. They have just encountered Jesus. And that touch, whether it's just taking food to someone, whatever your way of serving this people is, that brings them in touch with Jesus. And that is what serving is all about. Bringing people in touch with Jesus through the representation that we have of our Savior. Finally, and briefly, I choose personal discipline. I'm going to treat this very lightly, but it is covered in this passage of Scripture, so I want to cover it. Verses 24 and 25, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I choose self-control in order to serve. And this is all about forcing myself to serve when I don't feel like it. I don't know how many of you have an exercise program that you engage in, but I do. And One of the things I've learned is that I got to make myself do it. You know where I'm coming from? I come from work, and a lot of times I'll go out for a little run or something. And I don't feel like it a bit. I don't feel like it a bit. I would much rather chill out and just sit down. How do you get good results? You make yourself do it. That's self-discipline. That's self-control. And that's being alluded to here, I think, in our text. I choose self-control. I focus on my task. I don't run aimlessly, verse 26. I do not box as one beating the air. And thirdly, I choose to keep my body under control. I need that discipline. Verse 27, I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I need that holy sweat. I need to beat myself into shape. Okay, wrap up the message this morning with a challenge, choosing to serve. Who will follow in the footsteps of the great servants of God of yesteryear and today? Jesus gave us that example. Paul chose that. Hundreds down through the years have chosen to serve. The faithful servant will be the winner in the end, and God will bless you. I have a little surprise to throw in with this. I just thought about it as I'm meditating on the message as I was sitting over here in church before the message. You know what? There's a real side benefit to all this. You say, well, I gotta serve. You know what? I don't know if you've observed like I have over the years, the person who serves is the happiest person in the world. You're never happier than when you serve. That's not why we do it, but that sure helps. Have you ever been there? You've gone and made yourself do something. You didn't feel at least a little bit by going to visit this person or to speak out for the Lord or whatever it was, but you did it. What was the feeling afterwards? That's good. That was good. And you are the happiest person in the world if you will serve. And I trust that you will choose to serve. I want to do that. Choose to serve. It's what it's all about. God bless you. I have a song at this time.